Yeah, we talked about your personal views on Brexit, how you and your family perceive it and what it does. And we also talked about the influence of misinformation by the government, but also by the media. And now I would like to shed some light on the future relationships between the UK and the EU and between leavers and remainers. And yeah, I think at the moment there are a lot of scenarios in the media about what will happen after Brexit and what kind of impact it will have. And I wonder, what do you think, what kind of impact Brexit will have on the EU and the United Kingdom on the long run?
To be honest, I can't envisage any kind of scenario in which the impact will be positive. I really can't see who's going to benefit. Maybe some very cunning entrepreneurs, but I can't see how ordinary people in Britain can profit in any way. You know, I can't see how life is going to get better. I think everything is going to become more complicated. I mean, Brussels or the European Union does have a reputation for bureaucracy, but I think in recent years, you know, procedures, transactions were becoming a lot more streamlined. You know, there'd been a lot of work had gone into kind of making things simpler. You know, the whole concept of the free movement of goods and people. Everything is just going to become more difficult, more time-consuming, more expensive. Trade is going to be complicated. Travel is going to be complicated. Britain is going to be impoverished in so many ways. You know, I mean, you mentioned before research, kind of at the academic context, universities are going to suffer. They're going to lose funding. They're going to lose good brains. The health service is already suffering. We're going to lose hundreds of skilled workers, thousands of skilled workers. I just can't see a sector which is going to benefit. You know, I can't imagine, yeah, why we're bothering. You know, it's going to be a massively time-consuming and expensive and complicated process to kind of undo all the legislation and then to make new legislation. And to what end? You know, why? As for the EU, I mean, obviously they're kind of in the position of strength here. You know, Britain is probably going to lose out more severely or suffer more drastic consequences. I think in the EU, life will probably continue much as normal, but even there, you know, anybody who's involved in any kind of exchange with Britain, trade or education or whatever, is going to have problems. I mean, in my position at the university, I'm kind of partly responsible for sending people to, you know, British universities as Erasmus students or other academic exchanges. And that's all going to be massively complicated. You know, where are English students going to go to study English? I mean, obviously, they can go to America or to Canada, but still, you know, it's not as easy as it used to be. I kind of would hope that the example of Britain would have a discouraging effect on other European countries who are maybe tending in that direction, like anti-European sentiment. But the recent IFD results in Turin kind of make me think maybe people aren't looking closely enough, or maybe people aren't voting for the IFD because of the anti-European position. But it's kind of, yeah, I mean, that would be my only hope, that this would be kind of an example that people could look at and say, okay, we definitely don't want to go down that road. That would be maybe one positive thing that could come out of Brexit. But apart from that, I really can't think of any good outcomes.
What struck me a bit weird about how Boris Johnson talks about the EU is that he often talks of our friends in the EU, and I wondered, okay, if you want to call it friends, would you actually end a friendship? I mean, for whatever reason, and so yeah, that is a bit weird to me, and I wonder why he calls them our friends in the EU. Well, probably there's a strategy behind it, yeah, to make it look like, yeah, we have no animosities, and so it probably has to do with that. And yeah, I think from my side, I also can't imagine what would be a positive outcome of Brexit if it ever happens. to be continued. Now, but of course, I mean, we talked about that media is mocking Brexit, and I really don't want to mock it so much, but it is really confusing at the moment. And it's also interesting that you said that you don't see a positive outcome yourself, because I was wondering if I should ask you the question, what in your eyes would be a reasonable reason to vote for Leave? I mean, that's something that really interests me.
That's a very interesting, a good question. Why did people vote to Leave? I mean, coming back again to the title, there's this issue of pride. You know, some Britons have this kind of delusion that Britain is a strong, great, historically significant country. Maybe it was historically significant, but I don't think it really is now. They have this kind of hope that, you know, the partnership, the friendship, the special friendship with the United States will somehow be strengthened, maybe. I think what the politicians behind Brexit were hoping was that kind of if we remove ourselves from the European Union, from the European Union legislation, that things like protections, you know, workers' protections, workers' rights and environmental standards and food standards and all the kind of things that protect us as workers, as consumers, will be removed, and that then businesses will be free to kind of make their own rules and exploit people more and make more profit, really. It's a question of profit over people. I think that's the kind of the master plan behind it, this deregulation. But why kind of ordinary people voted for Brexit? I really can't answer that. I just don't know.
Well, I guess if you could answer this question, you would have voted for Leave, probably yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So it might be more neoliberal reasons behind it. And as we know, it started with Thatcher, the third way. And so I guess from that standpoint, it makes sense that the UK or Great Britain thinks with a economic brain, if you want, and less with a social with a social brain. So, and social is another point that I would like to come to now, because social also has to do with relationships, of course. And I wonder what you think, if you think about Pride and Prejudice, how or if it is ever possible that the gap between leavers and remainers is ever going to close again, or if it will always remain a gap?
I think that the rifts are going to be very deep, and I think they'll probably last for quite a long time. And especially when we've stressed this several times, we don't know what's going to happen. But if, as I imagine, things do become worse for people, then I think there'll be a lot of anger. You know, if people see that their house prices plummet, or, you know, whatever, people maybe get paid less, or you know, whatever other negative consequences happen, and then they kind of put two and two together, link it back to Brexit, and you know, then there'll be a big kind of question mark, you know, this accusation, why did you put us in this position? I think the rifts will be there and they'll last for a long time. But as we already said as well, you know, British people are very good at not talking about this kind of thing, just kind of glossing over it, getting on with things. Even this is kind of hard to predict where it's going to go. I think, I mean, probably more than the gap between Leave and Remain. I mean, Leave and Remain is kind of symptomatic of other gaps, rifts, divisions that are already there, you know, the rich and poor, educated, uneducated, even young and old. And yeah, they will remain. There'll just be a kind of extra dimension to them that possibly wasn't there before. Yeah.
This was my last question, and I think it's a really interesting closure for this interview with this outline, how it might look after Brexit, and if people will find together ever again, or if it will, yeah, if it will ever stay divided. Ja, mit diesem Ausblick verabschieden wir uns schon. Das war unsere Sondersendung Pride and Prejudice, einem Special zum Brexit, in dem ich mit Lucy Cathrow, einer in Rostock lebenden Britin, über ihre persönlichen Ansichten zum Brexit gesprochen habe. Lucy, thank you so, so much for talking with me about Brexit.
Thank you for inviting me, Anne. It was an interesting discussion. And it's good to hear your perspective as well.
Yeah, I know. It's quite of an emotional topic and some people are really tired about talking about this. So I really do appreciate that you came here and talk with me.